tonight, the book of Nehemiah, and so blessed to be here, Bible Baptist Church, amen, and I love your pastor, Brother Gravely. He's my friend, and I can remember Brother Gravely many, many years ago. He was a pastor of a storefront church, just a little storefront church. Whoever thought how God has used him, and I thank the Lord how God has used Brother Gravely through these years of just staying with the stuff, and I appreciate that. A lot of people have changed, but I'm glad he's staying with the stuff, and he's been a true friend. I thank the Lord for his friendship, and in the back we have some prayer cards. If you don't have one of our new prayer cards, please take one of those prayer cards and pray for us. We appreciate the church support through these many years, and you'll never know what that means to us. But we need your prayers even more than support. We're fighting the stronghold of Satan there in Europe. 750 million people in Eastern and Western Europe tonight that needs the gospel. I'm the cheerleader for Europe tonight, I guess. That's what people try to accuse me of. Dan Truax, when he went to the mission field, Africa, he always talked about why everyone was need to be called to Africa. Well, I'm trying to tell you why you need to go to Europe, amen. Maybe you're here as a young preacher. We need you. We need more preachers. We need more missionaries that'll stand for the old-time way. When we went to England, they said it couldn't be done. And many people said, Brother Tooley, I don't know how you're going to make it in England. You know, the British people reserve people. They're reserved. They don't like loudness. And I'm complete opposite of that. It just shows you God has a sense of humor, that God would even call our family to go to England. 33 years ago, the Concord Baptist Church there in Fairmount, Georgia, sent us out as missionaries back in 1992. And I would have never thought what God has done through these 29 years we've been on the field. Next year will be our 30th year on the mission field. And I encourage you to take a missions trip. Next year, Brother Dwayne Moore and Brother Stacy Piercy is going to be bringing a group over from America. And we're going to have to celebrate our 30th anniversary. We're going to have a week-long old-time preaching, old-time singing, and we're going to get the Word of God out. It's good to see Brother John Green. I guess I'm looking pretty good at 100, amen. I appreciate Brother John Green and all what they do, getting the Word of God out. And we have a new generation that's coming up in our churches today. A new generation of missionaries and a new generation of preachers that said that it's more of a lifestyle evangelism to reach people and not the Word of God. I just believe the Word of God will get its job done. It's preaching that got me in back in 1979 through the old man of God that preached up in northern Ohio and preached heaven sweet and hell hot, and that's what got me in. And I believe that'll get the job done today. And if it won't get the job done in Georgia, it's not going to get done. It'll get the job done in Africa, it's not going to get the job done. It'll get the job done and there in Europe, it's not going to get the job done. People say, well, we just have to have a lifestyle of evangelism. You know, I'm not going to England to have barbecues. I've not gone to England to have yard sales. We've not gone there to have bake sales. We've not there. England, we call our flea. We call forgot what we call flea markets now. I've been in America so long for 6 months. I've not gone there to have bake sales and flea markets and barbecues. We've gone there to preach the Word of God, and we've gone to give the Word of God out. Since we've been in England, God's allowed us to give out 5 million pieces of gospel literature across England, across Europe. And this last term, we've given out around 1 million gospel tracts into the homes. And every fall we have a big campaign. And our big campaign's coming up in September, right after school gets back in session. And every year we've been doing this in our church there in Corby, that we give out the gospel to over 10,000 homes. And we're praying that God will help us once again. Every year, it seems like we gain a new family in our church. Someone's moved in or someone's gotten saved for that. And I just believe that God's word will not go void. The reason that we're not seeing, if we want to call it success or growth in our churches, I believe we're not giving enough a Bible out. I don't believe we're giving enough scripture out. We keep hammering and hammering and hammering. And many times people come, they come and they see us giving out our tracts from our church. And sometimes they pass it out like a passport. They say, well, I already got that one. Great, I got another one to give to you. And every time we come back on furlough, we get back. There's this elderly lady who lives near our church. And she said, oh, Preacher Tooley, I thought you moved back to America. I said, no, I'm back here, ma'am. We're back here again. We're like an old check, amen, a bad check. We're still here. And by the way, I want to give you something here. Invite her to church. I pray that one day. And I know back our last furlough was during COVID. And she said, oh, I thought you might have died during COVID because I haven't seen you. I said, no, ma'am, I'm here. Our daughter got married and I've been in the States preaching. We're back. And she kind of looked a little disappointed that I was still there. But we're just still there trying to do. People thought that we would never make it when we went to England. We just love the Lord. We love going to meeting, old time shouting and praising God. And people said, man, you're never going to make there in England. Matter of fact, I had a lady this evening. She said, Preacher Tooley, she says, I'm amazed how God's used you there in England. Because I remember you when you was on deputation, you were shouting in the services, running the aisles and things like that. I said, how is he ever going to make it in England? And that was a good question. How was we ever going to make it? Amen. But we just started giving the word of God out. We just kept on preaching and preaching and preaching. And I remember we was with our last furlough. We was with Dr. Ronnie Simpson there in Concord, North Carolina. And he came up to me during Brother Allen's funeral. And he wanted to book a meeting at his funeral. I said, I'm not going to book a meeting at a funeral. I said, Brother Allen would do it. I said, well, he might, but I'm not doing that. I got 10 million preachers watching me at this funeral. I said, well, I'll call you the next day on our way to Missouri for a meeting. And I called him, and Dr. Simpson had me come. And I asked him for the service, you know, why did you never take us on? Back, you was one of the first churches I went to. I said, I have to be honest, I didn't think you're going to make it. I said, don't worry, I didn't think I was going to make it either, amen. A lot of people came to England, had a lot more ability, and had a lot more talent than my family would ever have. We've raised our kids on the mission field. They're serving the Lord in independent Baptist churches here in America. I thank the Lord for that. Our daughter just had our first granddaughter, so we've been trying to love on her as much as we can before we fly out next Tuesday. But God's been good to us. I don't have no sad complaints. People said it couldn't be done in England. It's not what the Tooley's done. It's all what he's done. And we knew what God has seen many years ago. And that's what will reach the British people. That's what will reach people all around the world. It's just old-fashioned preaching. We'll get the job done. And we thank the Lord for all God's done for his glory. And you pray for us as we go back to do. We never thought what God has done. In our church, the LifeGate Baptist Church, I call it the Miracle Church. We're just an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Bible-believing church that just loves old-time preaching. We have 3 revival meetings a year at our church, just like we might do here at Bible Baptist Church. People say, well, you're not supposed to have revival meetings in England. I tell them, you know, that's what helped me in my growth for the Lord of old-time preaching. I want people to come in and preach to our folks to realize that their preacher is not the only crazy preacher around the world, amen, that other people are doing it in God's blessing, and we thank the Lord for that, and we thank all what the Lord has done, and I just praise the Lord for that, amen. I really do praise God for it. And we have 12 different countries that's represented at the LifeGate Baptist Church. People wouldn't support us. They said, well, you're not in the 1040 window, which is the most unreached countries in the world. That England, of course, don't fall on that because many years ago, the sun were never set upon the country of England, a country of 60 million people of Great Britain, a country that's only the size of the state of Alabama. When you think about Alabama has 4.5 million people, we have 60 million people in Great Britain, of England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. They shook the world upside down for God. Some of the greatest men of God came from that land. Men like William Booth, men like John Wesley and Charles Wesley, Charles Spurgeon, some of the greatest men, William Carey, the father of modern day missions, Pilgrim's Progress, Amazing Grace was written. All these areas are all within an hour radius of where we live there in England. We're only an hour from William Booth was raised. We're only an hour where William Carey came from. And some of the greatest men of God. And when we walk upon those streets, we're walking the streets of some of the greatest men of God they ever known.
Amen.
But sad that England, that once was a mission force for the world, has become a mission field today.
Yes.
Once they shook the world upside down, but now our country is being invaded tonight. We're seeing people coming from all around the world that's moving to our country. We're seeing the Muslims are moving in and taking over our country. You go to the city of Birmingham, England, a city of over 5 million people has a Muslim mayor. You go to the city of Oxford, the mayor is a Muslim. You go to the city of Cambridge, the mayor is a Muslim. You go to the city of Luton, the mayor is a Muslim. You go to the city of London, over 10 million people, there's a Muslim as a mayor. You go every major city, there's a Muslim. We have Sharia law actually in parts of England that are practiced in our country. They have their own banks, Muslim banks in England, because the Muslims not supposed to pay interest. And so they have their own banks where they don't charge them interest. I teased my wife a number of years ago. We bought our house there in England. And I said, can I be a Muslim for one day to go to that bank, amen, and not have to pay no interest? It's amazing what's being done. Instead of here in America, here in the South, we see a church in every corner. In England, we have more mosques in our country than we have Bible-believing churches tonight. And if America doesn't see an old-time move of God once again, it's heading to this country. It is happening here very quickly. Who had ever thought of 3,000 mosques in a country the size of Great Britain would happen today, of a people that only had 4 million people have accomplished what they have accomplished? There's no telling what we could accomplish as the people of God if we would get a burden for missions, that we would get a burden for world evangelism, getting the word of God out. There's no telling what God could do around this world. But you pray for us as we go back and reach the world that's coming to England, and we're trying to reach the world. And we thank the Lord for the many people coming to our church. They might not be there forever. They might move on in 3 or 4 years, but they came from Africa. They came from Asia. They came from Nigeria. They came from all different parts of the world, Eastern and Western Europe. And God has given us that responsibility to try to train them and reach them and see them get saved and see them discipled. And we might never know what God has done through these many years, through the Word of God that's gone out. And I thank the Lord for that. And it's because of churches like Bible Baptist Church that makes that possible. And I appreciate your support, and pray for us. We've been raising new support since we've been back. Since COVID, we've lost support. And thank the Lord, we've had some churches take us on. We're waiting to hear back from about 9 or 10 other churches. Pray that God would speak to their hearts. It burdens my heart to see churches have money to give to missions, but we're not using the money. God then has called us to be a bank. God called us to get the gospel out. And you pray for us as we go back. But here, and so, preacher, what are you doing? I'm trying to stop being nervous here tonight. But here in Nehemiah chapter 6 tonight, Here in Nehemiah chapter 6 here tonight, we want to look into the Word of God. And I want to preach on tonight, what keeps us going? What keeps us going? Here in Nehemiah chapter 6. Now it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I have not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Why I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sword, and I answered them after the same manner. Then said Sanballat, the servant, unto me in like manner, the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, is reported amongst the heathen, and Gishmai saith, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest a wall that thou mayest be their king according to these words. Ardent Father, we want to come to you, God, tonight. Lord, I pray that God, you'd help me. Lord, I pray you calm my nerves tonight. I pray that you help me to preach your word tonight. And we'll thank you for what you do. In your name, amen. I want to preach on tonight. What keeps us going? Or we could say, why do Christians go the extra mile? We see here that Jesus has taught us to keep going. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he just kept going. When they rejected and abandoned him and they crucified him, our Lord did not stop, but he kept on going. You and I need something just to keep us going. We need to get us to stay. We need today. I'm concerned of the direction of America. I'm concerned of the direction of our churches today. We need to get together and we need to stay in our marriages. The world is fighting against us. The world is trying to pull our families apart. But we need to stay together as a marriage. Do not let Satan break up your home. Don't let him break up your marriage. But we need to stay in our marriage. We need to keep on teaching our children the right way to live. Instead of turning just about everything over to the government and over to the schools and over the television, we need to raise our families to stay with God and live with God. We don't need to bring Hollywood into our homes today, but we need our children to live for God. And we know our grandchildren, they need to have a church where they can go to and hear the Word of God and hear the old men of God that preach the Word of God, where they got a place to go. I want a place for my children. I want a place for my grandchildren that have a place. We're seeing in America that people are throwing out everything that we've ever known. We're throwing out our standards. We're throwing out what we believe in and what we taught on. We're trying to throw out the Bible. We're trying to throw out of giving out tracts. They say it just don't work anymore. I'm telling you, we're in one of the most difficult countries in all the world, but I'm glad that preaching still works. I'm glad tracts will still work. I believe I'll just keep on going when everyone else is changing. And everyone's giving up. We just got to keep on, keeping on for the glory of God. Oh, we need to stay that straight and narrow path when it may seem impossible. We need to keep following Jesus when it seems that more and more that we're out of step for the rest of the world. But we just got to keep going on with God, because our enemy, the devil, he is trying to hinder us. He's trying to slow us down. He is trying to halt us. He's trying to do every he can to try to stop us from following God, try to stop us from living for Jesus Christ. Young person, so don't let the devil stop you. Don't let the devil stop you. Don't let the devil ruin your life. He wants to ruin you. He wants to spit you out and destroy your home, destroy your family, destroy your parents, destroy your future children. We need to, instead of giving up, we got to keep on keeping on. It was about 440 years before the birth of Christ here in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah's returned to the land of Israel. He's gotten a small group of people busy rebuilding the city walls here in ancient Jerusalem. They weren't professional masons of that day. They were not professional architects. They weren't professional bricklayers. But something was in them that they weren't going to give up. Something was in them that's going to keep on going for the things of God. And Nehemiah has returned to the land of Israel. He's gotten a small group of people busy. They're rebuilding those city walls there in ancient Jerusalem. And they were not professional masons, but God used these builders. He used these simple people. He used these simple families. They were struggling and they were trying to rebound by the protective walls and the gates that could keep back to raising their families and enjoy the living as the people of God. And they were not welcome there. What they was trying to do. They was trying to rebuild those walls. They was trying to strengthen those walls to stand up for the things of God. They weren't very welcome of that day. They were surrounded. They was under a constant threat of an army of the Samaritans there in chapter 4. And the Samaritans were people who had no respect for the things of God. They had no love for the people of God. They were pagans who had run their lives. They tried to ruin the lives of the people of Jerusalem for the past 160 years, and they weren't wanting nothing. They were not wanting to let that go of what they achieved. But here was the people of God. Here were some Christians that were determined that I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on building those walls. I'm going to keep on living for God. No matter what may happen, the world may change and things may change, but I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to keep on keeping on for the glory of God. They were scared. They were discouraged. They were distracted. The Jewish people, they begin to lose heart. And you might be here tonight. You might be losing heart. I see a lot of pastors across America that they're losing heart. It's easier to back up. It's easier to lower down the standard of dress. It's easier to start bringing in the contemporary music. It's easier to try to make excuse why we need to leave the King James Bible. It's much easier. I tell you, it may be easier, but I want to be able to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day and know that I've done right. I've stood right when they said it couldn't be done. And when man said, you'll never build a church, use an old time religion and the King James Bible. But I'm telling you, every major revival around the world, it came from the preaching of a King James Bible. We don't need to get rid of the Bible. We don't need a new Bible. We just need to reread the Bible, the Word of God, and God will use it for God's glory. Nehemiah, that leader, a man who had a burden. He had a vision. He knew that he had to do something for God. And one important thing he did was he armed the people. He placed a weapon in every hand to try to defer those Samaritans for attacking them in Jerusalem. And they restored that purpose. They restored that joy in building those walls. They did not have a fear, but they were trusting in God. They were trusting and begging God that God once more again, that you'd breathe upon our land, that you'd breathe upon our church, that God wants to do. I tell them the great days we talk about in the 90s, and we talk about how God moved in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s in America, and we act now that we're living in the past. But my friend, I believe God wants to do the greatest things that we've ever lived. I believe God wants to do some. I believe God wants to raise up some young preachers. I believe God wants to raise up some missionaries. I believe God wants to raise up some churches for the glory of God, that God can still do it. My wife and I were blessed up last Sunday. Our son-in-law announced this call to preach. Boy, that was a blessing. I always prayed that my daughter would marry a preacher. It just was 5 years late. But praise God, I kept waiting. When we came in, I know something different about him. And last time we was there a few weeks ago, I noticed he went and showed me his new Bible he had. And he's all excited about this new Bible. And he's showing it out, all excited about it. A brand new Allen Bible. He was all excited about it. I thought, man, something's different here. And I'm just waiting for him to announce this call, and praise God. And God's still calling people to preach. Amen. God is not done. I believe the greatest days are set before us as we're waiting for the return of our Lord and our Savior. I believe God wants to do something more. I believe he wants to save souls more. I believe he wants to change homes more for the glory of God. You might have messed your life up, but I'm telling you tonight, you can go to this old-fashioned altar, and God can restore that home. He can restore that marriage. You might not be able to change what you've done in the past, but now from this future on, you can determine, I'm going to have a family. I'm going to have a family that loves God and serves God, and he can still do it today. I'll say again that there's a spiritual warfare is real for the believer. The Bible said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We take note of how all this in the book of Nehemiah that mimic things of the kingdom of God, an invisible kingdom, just as real as the chair that you're sitting upon tonight. Nehemiah is not just a history lesson for us in the book of Nehemiah. It's a description of the kind of battles that a believer fights in her life every day, and the instructions of how to face her enemy instead of being defeated. The war is real. We are at a spiritual warfare today. The devil's fighting like he's never fought before, and the consequences will be eternal. But I can't quit. I just got to keep on keeping on for the glory of God. The more the devil fights, the more we got to go forward for the glory of God. We remember in John 10:10, the thief coming not but to steal and to kill but destroy. And that is his goal for your life. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your family. But I'm telling, by the grace of God, we can't quit. We can't back up. We got to keep on keeping on for the glory of God. What are Christians like today? I'm afraid many Christians are demoralized today. I'm afraid many Christians are discouraged today. There's many people today that are not winning the battle. They're watching the world take away their children. They're watching the world take away their grandchildren. They're watching the world seeing their grandchildren and children being destroyed by the world. Too many parents and too many grandparents are setting our churches in a backsliding condition. There was a day that they was on fire for God. There was a day that God did something in your home. God did something to your marriage. And now we've just got accustomed a way we are. We've gotten accustomed the way things are. All the world tries to say there's more than just a man and a woman. I still believe the Bible's still true. It's a male and a female. It was Adam and Eve. Amen. It's not Adam and Steve. It wasn't Eve and Sarah. I tell that in my church in England. And I guarantee that doesn't go very well over there. But one day they might kick us out. They might revoke our visa, but I'm going to still preach a biblical marriage is still what the Word of God says. And don't let that discourage you to see what the world is going. The world is going away for the things of God, but for the child of God, we just got to keep on going. Stay building, stay working, stay loving, stay serving, even though we're surrounded, we're tainted, we're threatened by our enemies, the devil. But I got to keep on keeping on. We notice here in Nehemiah 6, 1 through 3, we notice the greatness of our work keeps us going. The work that Nehemiah and his few hundred people were doing was great. It was massive. It was huge. It was daunting. It was gigantic. There was a lot of work to be done. There was clearing away 160 years of rubbish. They were stacking and cementing massive stones back together. They were fashioning those walls. They were fashioning those doorways. They were fashioning those gates. And we see how those walls and their gates around the city of Jerusalem. 2 years ago, we had a privilege to go to Israel. We got to go to Israel with Dr. Jim Green. And we had a wonderful time with Brother Green there in Israel. And I was amazed when I looked at those walls around Jerusalem. You imagine the day that where they didn't have all the technology like we have today building those walls. But they was determined. They kept on going.
They didn't have cranes up those days to build those tall walls there. But that took old-fashioned work, and they built those walls for the glory of God. And sometimes life's not going to be easy. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a fight. But we got to keep on pressing on. We see there was just barely enough workers. There was too much to do for them in order to quit. But the work they were doing was great. They were great. It was an awesome work. It was a marvelous work. It was an impressive work. It was an important work. It was a grand work. It was a noble work. They could not give up. They had to keep on going. Rebuilding those walls was something they loved doing because those new walls were something that was great. They were rebuilding their lives. They were rebuilding their futures that was marvelous. They knew the promises of God out of Jeremiah rebuilding those walls where Jeremiah said, "The Lord have appeared of old man of me saying, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with long loving kindness here, I've drawn thee. Again, I rebuild thee, and thou shalt be, O virgin of Israel." In Isaiah, he said, "Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, a wasting now, a destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise." Do you have anything like that tonight? Something that's so different, something that's so marvelous tonight. Jesus and all his disciples, it was called Jew, it was called Christianity. All the people of faith in the Bible, they just did. They kept on going. The world fought against those disciples, but they kept going out. And the more that they went out preaching the word of God, the more the devil fought. And the more the devil fought the word of God and felt that fought the work of God. But as much more as the devil kept fighting them, the work of God kept going. And the Jews began to spread all around the world. And God used that to see churches all around the world and see Christianity spread. And that's what makes Christianity different from religion, different from this world. We didn't have a founder. We didn't have a beginning and the end, but I'm glad that I serve the Lord today. I'm glad I serve a God that loves old sinners. He'll still change you. He'll still use you for the glory of God. I think about how he's the advocate tonight. I'm glad tonight he's alive forevermore. I'm glad that he's that all-knowing. He is that almighty. He's that Alpha and Omega. He's the Amen. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the author of eternal salvation. He's the author of our faith. That's who we're trying to serve tonight. Our Lord and our Savior tonight. He's the battle of Gilead. He's the banner that's over us. He's the bearer of our sins. He's before all things. He's the beginning and the end. He's the bishop of our soul. He's the blessed only promise. He's that blessed hope. He's the bread of life. He's that manna tonight. He's that bridegroom tonight. He's that bright and morning star tonight. He's the brightness of our glory. He's our buckler tonight. He's our captain tonight. He's a changeless one tonight. He's the chief among 10,000 tonight. He's that chosen of God tonight. He's that comforter. He's that consolation. He's that counselor. He's that creator. He's the crown of life. That's our Lord that we're serving tonight. He's a day star to arise. He's our defense. He's our deliverer. He's the desire of all nations. He's despised and rejected. He is the door of the sheep. He's that dwelling place. He's Emmanuel. He's the end of the law. He's the equal of God. He's that eternal God. He's that eternal Lord. He's the everlasting Father. That's who we're serving tonight. That's who our Lord tonight. He's that faithful and true. He's the finisher of our faith. He's that first begotten. He's the first fruit of the sheep. He's that fortress. He's a fountain which is delayed. He's the foundation of the living water. He's a friend of publicans and sinners. He's that friend stock, closer than a brother. He's a gift of God. He's the glory of my lifter of my soul. He's a God who avenges me. He's a God that blessed forever. He's a God of my life. He's a God in the midst of her. He's a God of my righteousness. He's a God of my salvation. He's a God of my strength. He's God with us tonight. That's my Lord. That's my Savior. Hallelujah. I'm serving tonight. He's that graciousness. He is the great God. He's the great shepherd. He's a guide from unto dead. He's that homeless. He's the head of principality and power. He is heir of all things. He's that helper. He's the helping place. He's the highest priest forever, amen. He's that high tower. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's a horn of salvation. He's a husband of revelation. He is the I Am. He's the image of the invisible God. He is Emmanuel. He is that intercessor. He is Jehovah Jireh tonight. He's that keeper. He's King Eternal. He's King Emmanuel. He's King Invisible. He's King of Glory. He's King of Heaven. He's the King of Kings. He's the King of Peace. He's the King of Righteousness. He's the King of Saints. He's the Lamb of God. He's a Lamb that was slain for sinners. He's that last Adam. He's that lawgiver. He's that life. He's the lifter of my head tonight. Amen. He's my light tonight. He's a light of the world. He's a lily of the valley. He's a lion of the tribe of Judah. He's that living bread. He's that Lord and my God. Amen. He's a Lord dead, alive and again. He's a Lord God omnipotent. He's a Lord Jesus Christ. He's a Lord of glory. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of lords tonight. That's my Lord. Amen. Ooh, I'm getting too old to preach like this. He's the maker, amen. He's the man of sorrows. He's that master. He's the mediator. He's that merciful. He's the Messiah of the Prince, amen. He's the mighty God. He's the morning star. He's a name above every name tonight. He's that Nazarite. He's that Omega. He's that only begotten Son. He's the only potentate. He's the only wise God tonight. That's our Lord tonight. He's that Passover. He's that peace. He's that physician. He's that portion of manna. He's the potter. He's the power of God. He's the pearl of price. He's the pearl of praise. He's a propitiation for our sins. He's that quick and understanding. He's the quickening spirit. He's that rabbi. He's a ransom for many. He's that redeemer. He's that refiner. He's the refuge of trouble. He's a refuge in the time of the storm. He's that resting place. He's the resurrection of the life. He's that reward. He's that righteous. He's that righteous. He's the rock that higher than I am. He's the rock of my refuge. He's the rock of our salvation. He's the root and offspring of David. Amen. He's the rose of Sharon. That's my Lord. That's my King. Hallelujah. He's a sacrifice for sins. He's salvation. He's the same yesterday and today forever. He's a Savior of the body. He's a Savior of the world. He's a scapegoat of Leviticus. He's that sent one. He's that separate one. He's that serpent in the wilderness. He's that shadow of the Almighty. He's the shadow of the great God. He's that shelter. He's my shepherd. He's my shield. He's my sin. He's my Son of God. He's my Son of Man. He's that spring. He's the spiritual rock of David. He's the star of, the stone builders rejected. He's the strength of my life. He's the stronghold in the day of trouble. He's that strong tower tonight. He's stronger than my enemies tonight. He's the Son of Righteousness. He's the tabernacle of God. He's that tender plant. He's that testator. He's that treasure. He's the true bread from heaven. He's that true light. He's that true vine. He is the truth tonight, amen. He's that undefiled. He's that unspeakable gift. He's the upholder of all things. He is upright tonight. That's my Lord. He's the way. He's the well of living waters. He's the wisdom of God. He's that wise master builder. He's the witness of God. He's that wonderful. He's the word. He's the worthy. Worthy is his name. That's who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Lamb of God who saved the sins of the world. He's that exceeding great reward. He's the excellency of God. He is that excellent. He's an express image of His Son. He's the young child. He is the yes and the amen. He is the zeal of our Lord. He's the zeal of your home.
Yes.
That's my Lord.
Yes.
When you look in the book of Genesis, He's the breath of life.
Yes.
When you look in the book of Exodus, He's a Passover lamb. In Leviticus, He's a high priest. In Numbers, He's a pillar by the cloud by day and fire by night. In Deuteronomy, He's the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, He's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, He's our judge and our lawgiver. In Ruth, He's that kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, He's that trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, He's the reigning king. In Ezra and Nehemiah, He's rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, He's the Mordecai. In Job, He's our ever-living Redeemer. In Psalms, He's the great shepherd. In Proverbs, He's our wisdom. In Song of Solomon, He's the loving bridegroom tonight. In Isaiah, He's the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, He's the righteous branch. In Lamentation, He's the weeping prophet. In Daniel, He's the fourth man. In life's fiery furnace. In Hosea, He's faithful husband forever married to the backslider. In Joel, He's the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. In Amos, He's that burden bearer. In Jonah, He's that great foreign missionary. In Nahum, He's a strength in our shield. In Habakkuk, He's God's evangelist saying, revive thy work in the midst of years. In Zephaniah, He's our savior. In Haggai, He's restorer of our God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, He's the foundation. Open up to the house of David for the sin and uncleanness. In Malachi, He's the son of the righteous rising with healing in His wings. We're talking about our Lord. In Matthew, He's the King of the Jews. In Mark, He's that servant. In Luke, He's the Son of Man, feeling what you feel. In John, He's the Son of God. In Acts, He's the Savior of the world. In Romans, He's the righteousness of God. In 1 Corinthians, He's the rock and the Father of Israel. In 2 Corinthians, He's that triumphant one that's given victory tonight. In Galatians, He's your liberty. They'll set you free tonight. In Ephesians, He's the head of the church. In Philippians, He's your joy. In Colossians, He's your completeness. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, He's your hope. Amen. In 1 Timothy, He's your faith. In 2 Timothy, He's your stability. And Titus, He is the truth tonight. There might not be much truth in this world, but I'm glad my Lord is true. And Philemon, here's your benefactor. In Hebrews, your perfection. In James, He's the power behind your faith. In 1 Peter, He's your example. In 2 Peter, He's your purity. In 1 John, He's your life. In 2 John, He's your pattern. In 3 John, He's your motivation. In Jude, He's the foundation of your faith tonight. In Revelation, He is your coming King. Thank God for our Lord and our Savior. He's the living stone tonight. He's that advocate tonight. He's the Alpha and the Omega tonight. He's that anointed one. He's the author and the finisher of our faith tonight. That's our Lord tonight. I can't give up. I can't throw in the towel because my Lord has done so much for me. When you're ready to think about quitting, you don't quit. Keep on. Keep it on. Because when someone gets ready to quit, someone else is watching you.
Amen.
There's been many days in the early days of the ministry there in England, we felt like quitting. Many days we felt like quitting. And many times I called Brother Allen in those days. I was expecting the greatest wisdom of all the world from Brother Allen. And all I would say, you better pray about that. And of course, whenever he said, you better pray about that, that pretty much better, you better not do it. That I read between the lines. And then I called Brother Ballou. And I talked to Brother Ballou because I didn't like Brother Allen's advice, so I thought I'd call Brother Ballou. And see what the Bible says, a multitude of counselors, amen. And Brother Ballou said, what about that? As I always said, he said, you just keep being faithful. God will bless. God will do it. And then we'd go out there and give out some more tracts. Years ago, we went out and gave out 10, we invited out 10 10,000 homes. Invite them out, the gospel tracts. We gave 10,000 homes, and preacher, you know how many showed up? Zero. Zero showed up right away. But you know, when you're planting that seed, you don't see a harvest right away when you plant that seed. It might take a little time. It might take a little watering there. And something might happen in someone's life. And before you know it, down the road, months down the road, we start seeing some people coming into the church and start seeing some people saved. I remember years ago, 12 years ago, we was out door knocking and we're inviting people to church. I ran into this African family from Nigeria, West Africa, and everybody I've talked to all day long, Brother Green, they just said, no, we got our own religion. And I kind of got used to everyone saying no, and finally we knocked on this door, and I thought she said, no, we're not looking for a church, no, I don't need God, but my soul-winning partner was with me. He said, didn't you hear him preach what she said? I said, no, she said she's not interested in God. No, she said she's looking for a church, and I said, what? Look, and I didn't say anything. I thought, this is all, this show never come. She didn't think I was showing any interest. And then about a month later, her and her husband and her children walked in the service. Amen. They were dressed up, which was abnormal for us in England. People don't dress up when they go to church most of the time. And they came to church. And it was that Sunday they pulled in the church. And I recognized them. And I said, oh, no, not today. We were having some problems in the church. I had to preach a strong message against sin. And I said, if you preach that this morning, they're never going to come back. And then after the service, he ran straight to the pulpit. And I thought, Brother Gravely, you know how the devil put things in your mind? He's going to hit me. He is going to hit me. He's so upset. Instead of hitting me, he gave me the biggest bear hug you ever heard. And he said, I haven't heard preacher like that since I left Africa. Now, I guess that was good. I think it was. They were with us for 12 years before they moved to Canada. And they were a tremendous blessing. Because normally in our church, we would reach the people that nobody in town wanted. All the other churches didn't want them. We would get the riffraff. We would get the drug dealers. We'd get the prostitutes and everything like that come to our church, never professional people. And I kept praying, Lord, we sure could use some professional people in our church. We need some people got some money, amen, to reach up to build this church, amen. And then they started coming. His wife was a medical doctor, and he was a pharmacist. And when people come in, they would talk to him and they begin to talk to him, and they say, what do you, you know, people get talking, what do you do for work? And so they hear his wife say, well, I'm a medical doctor, and I'm a chemist. And people open up everyone's eyes, and they start witnessing. And one thing of Africans, Africans know how to do connections. I tell you, you meet one African, they're going to know another African and another African. Before we knew it, now our church is 60% from Africa today. 60% of our church, and I love it because they love preaching. Amen. They try to preach me to death. Amen. And I love it. They just love the Lord and love the things of God, and they're friendly and they're just friendly, and it helps our British people kind of come out of themselves of being so friendly. And I thank the Lord for that. And we started reaching other people. We started reaching school teachers started coming in. And I remember one lady started coming in. She's from Ghana. And she said, I'm a school teacher. And I thought, oh boy, I hope she's not an English teacher because I destroy the Queen's English. And she said, no, I'm a French teacher. So, oh, good. Praise the Lord for that. She was a French teacher. And she started coming in. She started hearing the preaching. Her and her husband, they've been in the church for years now, just serving the Lord, and thank the Lord for that. And boy, the time when you think about all hope is gone, you think everything's going to be done and nothing's going to happen, that's when God gives you a handful on purpose. But do you have anything? We think about how something are different, grand and marvelous. But Jesus' disciples, they did. It was called Jew Christianity, and all the people faith in the Bible, they did. But what keeps the Bible-believing Christian going? What keeps the stark reality of our culture today? We're seeing that two-thirds, we We've seen that in England, that less than 3% of the population have nothing about God. They care less about Jesus Christ. That all they know of Jesus Christ is a swear word. They hate God. They hate life. People are drunkards. People are wicked in their lifestyle. They rejected the design of marriage. They rejected integrity. They have no interest in honesty. They're lost. They need the gospel. And those facts today move me. That should motivate you. When people might deny the things of God, but that motivates me that there's still some people out there that they're going to get sick and tired of their sin, and they're going to come down and get saved in an old-fashioned order and see God change them, their heart. And we just got to keep on going. We just keep on giving out those gospel tracts. We got to keep on witnessing. They're watching you. They're watching how you respond to trials. They watch one family when you got problems in your family. They watch you when a death is in your family, but you keep on faithful. They watch you when you're suffering cancer. They're watching you when you lost your husband or lost your wife or lost your child. They're watching how you respond to that, because there's somebody out there. I believe there are people out there looking for someone's real. They're looking for something's real. They're looking for a church. They'll stand for the things of God in these last days. We just got to keep on preaching that blessed old book. We just got to keep calling men and women to prayer. We just got to keep on challenging our young and old to live godly and live soberly in these last days. We got to keep teaching our children what is right and what is wrong. We got to keep on going out there to the highways and hedges and preaching the good news that Jesus saves. I got to keep on telling them. I got to keep on going for the glory of God. We need to train that next generation of young people to preach the word of God and back up the man of God instead of trying to run down the man of God. Encourage the man of God. Encourage him as they preach on, preach on. And nothing like it. Nothing competes the greatness of the work of God. God wants to do a work, and we can't give up. Many people today, they're giving up. They're throwing the towel. But I believe the greatest days are still ahead of us. There's an honor to work for God to keep us on going. Nehemiah, he couldn't come down. He had to keep on going, keep on searching. He had to keep on preaching. He had to keep on reaching. Keep on keeping on, because Jesus is coming again. And I believe our Lord is soon to come. And we've seen all the things that are going around this world today. We're seeing floods and hurricanes and all kinds of crazy weather. That's not no accident. That's not the freak of nature. I believe God is trying to wake us up. And I pray that God would wake us up in our churches. So many people are sitting in the pews of the average Baptist church around the world. They're so backslidden. They're so far away from God. We need God to breathe upon us once again. Oh, I need God to breathe upon our home. We need God to breathe upon our marriage. We need to start begging and pleading, God, send revival one more time. God wants to do that tonight. Ardeny, Father, we thank you.